Donald McCrae, Wellesley winning, award-winning author Donald McCrae's stunning new book, In Sunshine or in Shadow, is a powerful tale of hope and redemption across the sectarian divide in Northern Ireland, thanks to boxing. At the height of the Troubles, Jerry Story ran the Holy Family Gym from the IRA's Heartland Territory of New Lodge in Belfast. Despite coming from a family steeped in the Republican movement, he insisted that it would be open to all. He insisted that all his boxers were given a free pass by military forces, on both Republican and Loyalist sides, so they could find a way out of the province's desperate situation. It is the subject of the new book by Donald McCrae, In Sunshine or in Shadow. Delighted to be joining me live on the line, Donald McCrae himself. Donald, good morning to you.
Morning, Giles. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is all mine. It seems, once again, that boxing, that most brutal of sports, seems to be the leveller that brings communities together.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because I sometimes hesitate to even call boxing a sport because it is so violent, so corrupt often. Fighters can be maimed, even lose their lives. And yet it has quite a social impact. And this was another example of how at the time of deep darkness and desolation in Northern Ireland, especially the 1970s and 80s, boxing was the one activity which actually pulled communities together, and I've just found that quite stunning. And the deeper I got into it, I saw that these boxers and fighting men were just totally committed to peace, which is quite ironic.
So tell me a little bit about Jerry Story then, and how you came across him.
Well, I had heard about him doing quite an amazing thing, is that soon after Bobby Sands and nine other Republican prisoners starved themselves to death in the Maze prison in 1981. Jerry was asked to go into the Maze and to work with both sides, the Republican side and the Loyalist side. And I just found that a bit mind-blowing that so soon after this had happened, he had gone in and worked with both parties. And it had not been actually discussed in much detail. So that was, in a way, a catalyst for me to get working on the book, and he's such a self-effacing man, but even he admits that it was highly unusual what he did. And in the end, he even in the Maze prison, which is one of the bleakest jails imaginable, he had both communities talking to each other from one cage to the other. They even shared their equipment. So this showed how boxing can be such a healing force, even in a bleak jail.
I mean, talking about bleak, there tends to be so people who were born after the Good Friday Agreement and later, you know, later that tend to forget how bleak it was in the Troubles from sort of 1970 onwards. I mean, how did he go about setting up this gym, and how did he negotiate boxers to get a free pass? Because the divide in Belfast was absolute.
Yeah, no one else could do what he did. He would move between communities and no-go zones without any fear. And he was allowed to do this. I think the gunmen, for want of another euphemism, admired boxing because they saw boxing as such a violent activity, and they respected fighters and fighting men hugely. So they, even though their ideology ran counter to Jerry's, who wanted to be peaceful, they admired boxing so much that they allowed him to get on with his good work. But still, there were three assassination attempts on his life. Unfortunately, you know, he avoided each of those bombs with a lot of luck. But he just has such a genial manner, and he does not judge anyone just takes them as a normal human being. And it doesn't matter whether you're the Protestant side or the Catholic side, he would just want to help you if you were interested in boxing. So with this magnanimous character, he was able to do things that no one else could do.
I mean, it's all very easy to sort of airbrush this and to say this sort of Disney account where, you know, he hops, you know, between the two communities with impunity. But, you know, there were attacks on his life. There were assassination attempts, bomb attacks, and there had been a history. There was a history of the all pervasive, bloody history of Belfast at the time, and of course the Northern Ireland at the time. And there was also, you know, there was even a link to Bloody Sunday.
Absolutely. You know, with Bloody Sunday, that's how the book starts. And there was a young boxer at the time called Charlie Nash, and he was one of 11 kids, and one of his siblings, Willie Nash, was killed on Bloody Sunday. This had an enormous impact, obviously, on Charlie. He was devastated. Again, the gunmen came to him within a few days of Bloody Sunday happening and asked him to join the IRA. But he, Charlie, again, chose a path of peace because he did not believe killing someone else would help anyone. So he continued boxing and worked a lot at the Holy Family gym. So quite amazing that these men could just put aside bitterness and despair and find hope in boxing.
And what was the atmosphere like in the Holy Family gym? Was it a big gym? Was it state of the art, as we say?
I was actually in it again last week, and it's quite a tiny gym. And certainly today, when he has sort of 30 or 40 young amateur boxers, boys and girls, working out with him in the evenings, it's a steaming hothouse. But back in the day, which the book covers, it was also quite comic because often they would have what they would call, again, euphemistically, gunplay going on outside the gym. But as soon as the trainer, Jerry, came down in his battered old Cortina, the gunplay would stop and they would wait for him to get in the gym. As soon as he closed the door, you know, they would start shooting at each other again. So there were a lot of almost comic elements to it. Now it's a much safer place, but still the old slogans are on the wall, and you can sometimes feel a little bit of a sinister undertow because the old bitterness, I think, still lingers.
I mean, how did you get him access to the maze as well? I mean, Bobby Sands, I mean, I was relatively young when that was happening, but I remember the H blocks, the maze, the dirty protests, and the hunger strikes, and the deaths, and the effect it had on the community, and that was in the mainland UK, where I was based at the time.
Of course.
I mean, how does a boxing gym owner get into the highest security prison in the UK?
Well, it was the prisoners themselves who asked for him on both sides. And, you know, while I was working on the book, I actually spoke to a guy called Billy Hutchinson, who was in the maze, and he was on the loyalist side. So you could say the opposite to Story's Republican family. But he said they so needed him because even though they hadn't been involved in the hunger strike, the mood amongst the loyalist prisoners was so full of despair because they all were in for life. And people were just, you know, just could not continue. So they felt that here was a man who could actually lift them up, inspire them, and instill a little bit of discipline with boxing. So they actually went to the governor and said, we would like to invite him in to help us. And the governor said, well, I'll have to think about it because the Republican boys have asked the same thing. So, and Jerry said he would not have gone into the maze unless he could work with both sides.
And also, away from that, there's the actual success. I mean, it's a great story that the fact that you actually have a gym that is a boxing gym that is open and is getting young men from both sides advised to box together. But yeah, he was successful. I mean, he trained.
People like Gary McGuigan, who obviously became a world champion.
The McGuigan, I mean, let's just cut to McGuigan then, because that is a story that united the whole of Ireland. I mean, I remember when that hit the headline. So how did he become involved with McGuigan?
McGuigan's father asked him if he could work with young McGuigan, who would have been then about 16, who was obviously living on the border. He was actually in Southern Ireland, in Clonus, which is just close, hard on the border with the north. So his dad used to take him in to the Holy Family about sort of four times a week, and then eventually he would spend weekends there because he wanted to fight in the Olympics, and Jerry was the best, he was the national coach of Ireland. So they forged a bond, but Jerry, again, didn't want to get involved in professional boxing because he saw his mission in life to work with young people and to keep them out of the gunmen's clutches. But Barry McGuigan always said to me that even though people talk about, leave the fighting to McGuigan, and he had supporters clubs on both sides of the Shankill Road, which was the loyalist side, and on the Falls Road, which was the Republican side. McGuigan said the template for that had been set by Jerry and the Holy Family many, many years before.
So why did you think the time was right to write this book, if you pardon, In Sunshine or in Shadow? And who did you speak to and how did you get the interviews?
Well, I felt it was important because I knew snippets of it, but I just felt I wanted to know more and more. And so that's why sort of the impetus of the book was to actually talk about these stories that few people knew, They certainly knew about Barry McGuigan because obviously he was a famous guy and a world champion. So he's only one of five people in the book. The other four, obviously, Jerry is the main figure in the book. But then we have Hugh Russell and Davy Lama, who were a Catholic and a Protestant, who fought each other twice in bloody battles. But bizarrely, this would be in 1982 when the troubles were at their worst. They could fight in the Ulster Hall and the King's Hall. Supporters from both sides came to support their man, but there was no violence outside. There was a lot of violence inside the ring, and Davy Lama, the Protestant fighter who lost the first fight to Hugh Russell, the Catholic, Davy took Hugh to hospital together, and they were stitched up in adjoining beds and had a good old laugh about it, which again, mind-blowing to think that this humor could emerge amid such darkness. So there are two key figures in the book. And then finally, Charlie Nash is the fifth figure who, as I explained, the book starts with him and Bloody Sunday.
And is Charlie, you know, I mean, and Jerry, are they self-effacing? I mean, boxers, they tend to be one of two things. They're either all bombast and I am the greatest, yes, or they're introverted, quiet figures.
And all of them fall into the same. Except Barry McGuigan is a wonderful speaker and I think is quite confident about what he achieved. The other four men are so self-effacing. And that was my only difficulty, is that I had to work quite hard for them to open up and actually talk in detail about the achievements they had, because they wanted to underplay it all the time. And even when it was assassination attempts, there was, you know, Jerry would say, oh, it happened, but I don't want to make it a big thing. But it was a big thing. And that's why I went over back and forth and interviewed all of them between 30 and 45 times. So I spent a lot of years on the book because it was important that they trusted me and they could tell stories that few people had ever heard in full detail.
You've done this sort of thing before, Donald, to put it mildly, and yes, and you know, everything from covering sort of the sex trade through to Stephen Gerrard, but boxing seems to draw you back. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because it is so primal? And I went to a boxing match a little bit earlier in the year, and I haven't been to a boxing match for a very long time, and you forget, you know, how when you step into a boxing ring, you are completely laid bare.
Absolutely. And there are two things. That one, definitely, the intensity of boxing. To be with fighters just before they go into fight, knowing that they could actually lose their lives. Sometimes they can damage their opponents so badly that they are scarred for life. There's no other sporting activity that has that absolute intensity. But secondly, it has a social impact. I mean, I was born in South Africa and lived under apartheid. And, you know, I'm 58 years old now, an old man. So Muhammad Ali, I was a little boy then, but he had such an impact on me and in particular on my teachers. And some of them were quite racist, but they loved Muhammad Ali. So as a young boy, obviously my political consciousness was minimal, but I could see that there was this weird dichotomy that they were so racist, but they loved Muhammad Ali. And eventually some of us started saying, so he is a black man, and they say, yeah, but he's not like our blacks, which you know, made me sort of think this system is not a good system. But I fell for Ali's power, his magnetism, his wit, his charm. There's been no other boxers like Muhammad Ali, of course, but he had such a huge social impact on the U.S. and on places like South Africa. And boxing has this capacity to engender social change. So I think the combination of the intensity of it and the positivity of it means that I often come back to the subject.
And Jerry is still obviously plying his trade in the gym itself.
Always. You know, he works 7 days a week, and early in the week I couldn't get hold of him because he was up to Dublin to work with the national girls squad. And I spoke to him yesterday and he said, oh, I've got a busy week this week. He's got tournaments coming up. I think he's quite enjoying the fact that, you know, the book has had some nice publicity and people are acknowledging it. And he's saying, well, you know, maybe we can talk to the council and make sure we can get a bit more space for my young wee boxers. So he is as committed as he's ever been. So it's quite moving and humbling to see a man who's just had his 83rd birthday still doing such good work.
The book is called In Sunshine or in Shadow. It's out now on by Simon & Schuster. It's by Donald McCrae. Donald, if people want to get in touch with you, I'm looking at the website now, so please tell the public how they can get a hold of you and then check out more about the books.
If you go to my website, which is www.donaldmcrae.com, I'd love to, if anyone's got any comments, it'll be nice to hear from them, because emails will get to me via that website.
And only it begs the question, what are you up to next? Because you say and I'm reading direct from your website, so there you go. It says that after 30 years of book writing and 16 years of interviewing, the same old feeling remains. Roll on the next one.
Well, I continue to do the Guardian Sports Interview of the Week, and I am working on another book. I'm under quite a severe deadline. Unfortunately, I can't say what it's about.
Okay.
Publishers, but that will be coming out later this year, and then I'll be working on whatever comes next. But somehow I have a feeling it might have a boxing theme, which, as cliched as it sounds, each subject which has boxing at its heart has been so different for me. But we'll see how the next year goes.
Well, we look forward to that. And I must say, on a personal note, I am most envious as a struggling, awful writer myself about your writing shed, which you have pictures of on the website.
Well, thank you. It's a bit battered. The windows don't open, but it's a 5-second commute out into the garden, into my shed, and it's a lovely little oasis for me. So I'm quite lucky.
Well, the book, if it came out of that shed, Donald, it's been brilliant. The book is called In Sunshine or in Shadow. It's out now by Donald McCrae. You can find Donald McCrae on all the social media. You can download the book as a virtual ebook as well from our own website. Donald McCrae, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Giles.